Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're going to be talking, going from success to our purpose. Trying to discover our purpose, there's been an emphasis on knowing your purpose so you can fulfill it for quite some time. I think that touches something that's innate in all of us, that we want our lives to matter. We want our time here on this earth to mean something. We want to feel like we're contributing to something. And then when you add God into the mix and you're told that God has a purpose for you and he will bless you as you fulfill it and you will lose blessings if you don't fulfill it, and that there's all these ramifications about how well there's the, you know, God has set out a mantle for you that if you don't pick it up and fulfill it, somebody else will. And God has a purpose for you, and if you don't fulfill it, God can't fulfill his. And really, when you get down to it, it's much more of a way of attempting to motivate at the best and manipulate at the worst. So we're just going to put that all aside and look at, as far as God is concerned, what is your purpose now, today, right this minute? What is my purpose right now? So if success, Christian success, is simply actively depending on God to live his life in and through us, his spirit pouring into our spirit through our soul and body, and into this world, if that's success is merely cooperating and being with him, then what are we here for? What is our purpose, and what are we doing here on earth? Part of this, the answer, is to look at what is eternal life. And when we sum it up with that eternal life is to know Christ, to know God. And if you've been reborn in your spirit, you have eternal life. You've received it in your spirit right now. In your spirit, it is finished. You can't please God any more than you already have. And it's impossible for you to disappoint him. Because in your spirit, you are perfected. You are complete. You are one with him. You are a saint in your spirit. Our problem is our soul, and to a lesser degree, our body. So our purpose, our job now, is to know God on his terms and in his timing. That may seem like it's a little too simple, but within knowing God, within eternal life, within learning to cooperate and be with him, everything else falls under that umbrella. Everything else that's going on in the world, everything that's gone on in your past, your present, and will go on in your future. It all falls under God making himself known to you and to your soul by way of your spirit. We often struggle with that simplicity, and we try to make it complex because we love to make God's simple things complex, because then they're hard to do. We can draw attention to our own creative revelation or teaching and draw attention back to ourselves. But man loves to make complex what God made simple. By making success, purpose, knowing God harder than it is, we can often rob God of the opportunity that he has created to reveal himself. That's his goal, desire, intent, is to reveal himself. Knowing God is his idea. So it is his responsibility to make himself real to each one of us. He teaches us and we learn. Again, it's not that complicated. What is he teaching? What are we learning? To live and move and have our being in him. To be one, spirit, soul, and body. For our soul and our body to be healed, the lies dispelled, and truth flood our soul, for all things that we've been relying on as our strengths in our soul to be let go, so that our soul can be aligned back with our spirit, and then our body will follow. That's our task, yours and God's. Mine and God's. That's our task. That's what you're here for. That's the simplicity of what you're here for. Now, how that happens, there are layers to that. There are things that we can do, but most of it is God. He's revealing and drawing. So what does knowing God look like? What does fulfilling our purpose look like? Knowing God's success, fulfilling our purpose, will outwardly look different for each of us at different times. Since we already completely and perfectly know God in our spirit, it is only in our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, and in our body, that the learning to know him, is taking place. Now, here's the threefold process that's going on. And you'll start to get an idea about how everything we've been talking about all leads up to fulfilling our purpose, when we start looking at these three approaches to what God is doing in our lives. First, we're learning how to go to him to get healed, both soulically and physically. Second, we're learning how he exposes our flesh so he can consume it. And there we're just cooperating with him and letting him do the work. And finally, number three, learning to rest and enjoy our present relationship with him. And we'll get into each one of these a little bit more, but obviously rest does not mean doing nothing. Rest means our soul receiving life, direction, encouragement, everything it needs from spirit rather than from other sources. Every circumstance in your life contributes to these three activities. So our purpose now is not to do these three things, but to depend on God to do them in and through us. We talked last week about how God knows we need encouragement. So he gives us a general roadmap that this is what he's doing in our lives. So we can see we're making progress. There's a practical aspect to spirit, and there are things we can do to cooperate and recognize God's moving in our lives. God's time frame is totally different than ours. And one of the main things that God works in us is patience. Hopefully this will encourage you. Most of the time, by the time God shows you what he's doing in your life, 99% has already been done. You may think nothing's going on. You may think he's a million miles away, or a problem isn't going to be solved, or there's a challenge that isn't going to be overcome. And yet when he finally comes in, when he shows up, it's so you can participate in the very end. If he showed us what he was doing all along the way, unfortunately, we're still at that place where we might wreck it. We might help out too much and interfere with what he's doing. This is part of our problem. We think that our purpose is to help God, that we're here to help him out. So let's just put that to rest. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need my help. He doesn't need anybody's help. This is one of the reasons he keeps his secrets. Because so many of us, if he revealed what he's doing, we would automatically conclude that the reason he's sharing, this is what he's doing, is so we can help. Whether it's just to share with others or form a prayer circle around it or write letters or whatever, rather than just be silent and enjoy and watch his purposes unfold. So seeing his time frame, we can go back to the concept of eternity being totally different than the concept of time. The time is a created thing for us here on this earth. But eternal life is something we have already received. It's not just a matter of more life or a better life. It's a totally different kind of existence. In your spirit, you are already experiencing it. And if you are pursuing knowing him, when you feel his presence, when you feel experience revelation or any of those moments of awakening, those are tastes of eternal life that your spirit is enjoying even now. But by making the most of every moment, this is how we redeem the time. And how do we make the most of every moment? We keep God present. We recognize that all things are in him and from him. And we have our ear ever waiting, our heart ever open, our mind ever ready, and not distracted and focused on what we should be doing for him, but letting him reveal as he chooses. His ways are not our ways, but he wants to change that. He wants your way to be his way. So patience is part of learning to overcome time and bringing time under your control as a spirit being. Being successful at practical Christianity will bring contentment in all things on all levels, even in the midst of turmoil and tension. This is true peace, regardless of the situation and circumstance. In fact, it will often look like the opposite of what it is because of the misbeliefs and the wounds in the flesh and just the lies that are being brought to the surface and exposed to his loving truth. For instance, learning to live in his peace may appear as great turmoil to others as our control in an area is challenged and stripped. Others may think, wow, you're really going through the ringer, or you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And yet we know God is put us there and put us through those circumstances to bring a wound to a surface so he can heal it, to reveal a lie about ourselves, about him, about others, so he can speak truth, so we can overcome our enemies in that place from a place of soulical and physical weakness where we are learning how to let the spirit conquer those enemies. So even those victories may not at all seem like a victory to others. But because we have a different scorecard, a different rule book, we understand what God is doing and see our victories for what they are, bringing our soul into alignment with our spirit. Now, change is hard for us. And change is hard on us. But God proves his trustworthiness and loving kindness time and time again through these circumstances. As we allow him to work in and through us. So when we think that being in the will of God, nothing bad ever happens to us. Or we're never angry or sad, and our relationships are always perfect. And we're never in the middle of a upheaval or never threatened physically. That only if you're out of the will of God do those things happen to you. All that comes into clarity when we understand what God's purpose is for our time here on this earth. And again, it's on an individual basis. And I'm always encouraged that because of the nature of time, you and I, as spirit beings, existed before this time here on this earth. I don't know what it looked like or what that existence was, but that's the part of very nature of eternal life. And I suspect that as part of in the decision to come here to this earth, to be transformed, transfigured. Something that our time here on this earth could do that maybe nothing else could. Likewise, we don't know what comes next. We don't know about our physical body, our soulical body, or even how our spirit body functions next. But once we experience God, we know His purposes are for us. So we can take comfort that and encourage ourselves that we agreed to the process that we're living right now, the circumstances that you're in. At some point in time, you agreed with God that this was a good idea. Now, of course, when you get right into it, you may, what was I thinking? But it is worth it to accomplish whatever it is that God wants to accomplish in your life, which, again, is to know Him. Now, how He does this, how God heals you and reveals Himself and changes us, the timetable and the method and the circumstances are all His responsibility. What's interesting is the more we know Him and develop those habits of instantly and constantly turning to Him. Lord, is this you? Lord, what am I supposed to do here? How do I respond here? What's really going on? As we learn to overcome our enemies, He reveals Himself more. Because part of our soul been joined to our spirit and has become trustworthy. And we are willing to say with Him, with God, whatever you're doing in my life, thank you. Whether it's good or bad is of no consequence. It's from you, and thank you. Now, this can put us in awkward situations, because this is counter to what is mainstream and sometimes not so mainstream Christian orthodoxy. To make relationship with God a one-on-one thing takes away power from how Christianity is presented and experienced by billions around the world. In other words, if you were on a desert island, you'd be just as capable of knowing God on His terms, to be brought into oneness with Him, as you would be if you were in your exact situation right now, with all the resources, all the people around you. It's not about your circumstances. It is about Christ in you, your hope of glory, your expression of His being through you, in you, that the kingdom is in your midst, and it's entered, not built. And we work through these things from a place of having already accomplished. There's nothing to achieve or goals to meet as far as the spirit is concerned, that we have already received all the salvation we're ever going to get, because our spirit is now living. But now that salvation is being worked out through our soul and our body. And when you start seeing the simplicity of focus, in fact, that's when you really start coming up against your enemies. Your soul is going to struggle to maintain some semblance of control. The world system, whether revealed in the social circumstances you live in, or religious, your church, your family, your own beliefs, there may be great challenges there, and decisions may be made or may be made for you. And likewise, the devil. He is real. He's got a lot of buddies. And I'll tell you, Christians who are caught up in religion are no threat to him. So he pretty much leaves him alone. But when you start resting and knowing God, then his kingdom is threatened. And don't take it personal. This is not about special or something weak in your life, something that you missed. The devil knows our vulnerabilities. And he's there to expose them. How do we overcome unless we have these challenges? How do we know how to walk in the spirit unless walking in the soul fails? This is where we want to be encouraged to fail quickly. And rather than trying every time something we know doesn't work, trying harder, studying more, worshiping more, getting our emotions riled up more, whatever it is for you, we learn the habit of turning right to God to the point where it becomes something we don't even think. We just go to him. We just turn internally, God, what's going on? And we don't even need to say anything. And his truth is revealed, his power, his love. And remember, these enemies are not God's enemies. God doesn't have any enemies. He created everything. He owns everything. To be an enemy, you have to be on equal footing with someone or a threat to them. There's nothing that he has created that is a threat to him. To say he has it all under control is simplistic, because, again, he created it. He controls every cell in your body, every atom on this earth and beyond. And when we start to be open to receiving everything he has for us, there's no limitation, because he is constantly creating. So we will pick it up here next time. Same time. You can always drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or here through Blog Talk Radio. Until then, Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.